Once again, good morning, everybody. Kalimadas us, and a very Merry Christmas to you all. It is a Tuesday morning. It is the 13th day of December, the calendar year 2022. We are about 12 days away from Christmas. And God, joining us each and every Tuesday, right on time at 11 o'clock, is Manny Frangidakis. And I believe joining Manny is Stamati this morning. Gentlemen, good morning. Que cala Christuyena.
Kalimera. I believe it's just me. I think Stamati is stuck on a work call.
Oh, okay. Kalimera, good morning, Manny. Tikanis.
Manoli, kalimera.
Kala. How are you guys doing?
By the way, today it's Tuesday the 13th. So you better give us good news, you know, so we'll be, ξέρεις τα ελληνικά, άμα είναι τρίτη και δεκατρίς, δεν είναι καλά, ξέρεις.
Yeah, it's kind of the American version of Friday the 13th,
so Manoli, πες μας γρήγορα πώς θα βγάλουμε κανένα φράγκο. Ωπ, κύριε καθηγητά, καλώς ήρθατε.
So Manny, I'm here with Costa as well as Petros, so
με λίγα λόγια, μόλις άκουσε για τα λεφτά ο Πέτρος, ήρθε αμέσως. Για τα λεφτά τα κάνεις όλα
για τα λεφτά.
Για τα λεφτά.
Καλημέρα, Μανώλη.
Καλημέρα, Πέτρο.
All right. So.
Yeah. So I mean, we got some good news this morning. I mean,
I know.
See if it translates, but okay. We got a cooler CPI print year over year from last year. Mm-hmm. You know, November to November, 7.1 compared to a significantly higher rate a few months ago. So inflation is cooling on some components. So you saw a massive jump in the markets. They are pulling back slightly, but at one point they were up close to 3%, and I think that is kind of the mood that was expected going into today and today's CPI report. Today is the most important day, more important than tomorrow's Fed speech by Chairman Powell. So this will be the last real data point that we get prior to 2023 that lets us know, how are we doing against the battle of with inflation. So right now it seems that the aggressive rate hikes that have been pushed forward by the Fed is starting to work. It's just a matter of how long does it remain sticky. For example, the services side, the wages side, still remains very sticky, which I think is going to be problematic over the next coming years and potentially causes the Federal Reserve to not change, but revisit their guideline or at least their mandate of 2% inflation target. It feels like we're going to be living in a world for the next decade that inflation will be somewhere around the 3-4% level, not 2% and sub 2% like we've had for the last 10 to 12 years.
Manny, tomorrow, what do you think? Is it going to go 0.75 or 0.5?
0.5. And I think that even with today's number, they probably cool. What I believe happens, Costa, is that they raise 50 basis points tomorrow. They're going to raise hopefully 25 basis points come February 1st. That's your first meeting in 2023, mm-hmm. and potentially another 25 basis points in March. That's going to get you to 5%, 5.25% real Fed funds rate. Mm-hmm. I think that is where they stop. The question is most people are projecting that they're going to cut as soon as the end of 2023, meaning that they might drop rates by 25 or 50 basis mm-hmm. points. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to live in a world of 5 to 5.25 real FUD funds rate through 2023 and probably most of 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is not bad because for us, the older people, I remember, like about 35, 40 years ago, that the interest rates, they were like 8%. And, to buy a home, like at that time was like 8%, 8.4%.
Well, my first, Debbie and I got married in 1982. The first property we purchased together was a townhouse in Randolph, Mass. Paid $124,900 for it. My interest rate was 11.25%. Yeah. And I was glad to get under 11, 11.5 when, That's what it is. Manny, I want to ask you a question.
Although, excuse me, Thadori, I was talking to a banker over the weekend, and he said that the interest rates for the housing is going down,
It is. It's gone down for the last 2 weeks.
Yes, yeah. It has going down.
So you were at 7.1 probably about a month ago, maybe a little bit longer, and now you're probably looking at a 6.4. 6.35 mortgage rate for 30-year fixed.
Which is not bad.
It all depends on what the situation is. I want to bring this up. So I was just telling the guys, I was making a bunch of calls yesterday. It's our annual Christmas program. Several of the annual participants are in the real estate business, whether it be brokerage or whether it be actual real estate agents. And, they subscribe to our annual programs, and I had an opportunity to talk to them. And every single person, one person actually told me that it's the worst that he's seen in 30 years in regards to current, first of all, refinancing, forget about it, completely off the table.
Down 88%.
Yeah, so... with that being said, and it doesn't seem as if the prices of the real estate are really dropping that much. Many of the at 5.5-6%, is there enough money out there for these, you know, double income families to afford these, you know, because the median price still, at least to our demographic, really is about $1 million for a home.
Well, that was going to be the kicker when you guys were talking about mortgage rates for your first homes.
Yep.
I was going to say you probably bought those homes for what is equivalent to a postage stamp in today's market.
Exactly.
So it's not. It's actually very much unaffordable. There is a projection that the median house in the United States through all these interest rate rises will go from $410,000 to potentially back to $366,000. But again, you're still elevated there from where you were in 2019, 2020.
Right.
So yeah, we've seen a decrease in housing, but we're still significantly higher housing, inflation housing, than we were in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not much of a price break for these people. And if anything, the mortgage rate that they would have gotten a year ago is now double what it than what it would have been a year ago.
Sure, exactly. So, the interest payments have doubled.
It's not really affordable, I don't see a huge kicker in housing. You know, for quite some time. I think that the housing market will stay elevated, won't really move too much. Yeah, you might see another 4% decline if people can't, you know, get a transaction to take place. But I think things will remain stagnant. You know, Restoration Hardware just got downgraded yesterday. If you, you know, to fix your home right now, it's 13% more expensive than it was a year ago. So whether you're looking at home renovation, home construction, moving, there really isn't an incentive out there. Why am I going to leave a house that has a 3% mortgage to go to a house that has a 6.4% mortgage? So I think everything housing related will be very stagnant for the next, you know, 1 to 3 years, depending on how we navigate inflation and where does the long-term terminal rate end up.
Well, that's the difficult thing, you know, and I'm 63 years old and I've pretty much seen maybe three of these real estate, rebalancing. It's the people that are in that industry that, you know, it's like feast or famine, and you got to be really, really careful, you know, with the money that you make, because they're making really good money, you know, when the rates are low, that they, you know, keep that in the tank, because it can go south pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, they've also had a tremendous run.
Right.
I mean,
they have.
Housing is easy, besides stocks, I mean, the number one thing that has appreciated the most in the economy over the last 12 years are hard assets like real estate.
Right, yeah. Right.
But that's okay. Residential, not commercial, not that much.
Yeah, you know? I think we're talking about residential in general right now. Yeah. What about the commercial market?
I would disagree with that, too, and say that look at the industrial market. You know, depending on which side of commercial you want to look at, yeah, office space in Boston has dropped in pricing. Yeah. You know, if you have a storefront, it's going to be really hard to get retail in there right now at a point that you would like to make rent at. But overall, real estate, whether it's housing or commercial, has done really well over the last 12 years. Again, depending on where you're geographically located.
Yeah. Mainly the retail, right? The bricks and mortar of the retail industry, which, quite frankly, is really dying. What's going to happen with all this property? Who's going to take it and turn it into something valuable?
Probably remains to be seen. There'll probably be new components that come to the real estate market, new ideas for mixed use space. But yeah, there will be a consolidation. I mean, forget the retail market. What's going to happen with all the office space market? I mean, that's a bigger concern. Whether you're in Boston or New York or some of these other cities where you still can't get employees to come back to the office, or worse yet, companies have realized that they don't need such a large footprint as they did prior and are now consolidating, which is leaving massive pockets of empty space.
We're going to turn them into residential.
They cannot change the zoning.
It would be too. You could potentially
cost it,
but go into a building that has 80 floors that is built for commercial and for office space, and then tell me how you're going to go through, refit it for piping, create all these bathrooms, create all these showers, create all these drainages, and make it up to code. It seems extremely expensive.
But by the way, man, in Rhode Island, there is the a building right now that was empty for the last 10 years. It's like about, I think, 26 floors, and they got the owners, they got financing from the federal government and the Syrian state government, and they converted it to residential, and they're going through exactly what you just described, you know. Okay, so it's going to be actually mixed usage, you know, like the first floor, a couple of floors will be commercial, and the rest of it will be residential.
And I'm sure there'll be small enough buildings that you can do that with, but like, imagine going to take the John Hancock Tower and trying to
make that retro.
That's an extreme, you know.
But that's the majority of the buildings that are dealing with vacancy.
It makes sense. Yeah, I agree with you.
There is a tremendous demand for housing, you know, and that's the reason why I mean, yeah, tremendous demand.
Even right now
in Boston, they, I don't know how many condos they've been built right now currently, although the economy is slowing down. Like, if I'm not mistaken, about 4,600 in downtown Boston, around there, you know, like, and there's a tremendous demand for housing.
Anything else? Yeah. What's anything else we should touch base on?
I have a question for Manny. I mean, like, you know, well, what about that arrest in the Bahamas yesterday?
Sam Bankman-Fried.
I mean, it seemed like it was
it's the FTX scandal that we talked about 1 or 2 weeks ago. It was all over the crypto news for the last month, where essentially they, you know, wiped out $1.8 billion in customer capital.
Yeah, what happened?
So he was arrested in the Bahamas, where he had been residing, and he was supposed to testify today in Congress, and they, I guess, got a notification from his legal team that he was unable to testify today due to a conflict of interest, and that's why they arrested him.
But I mean, I think, like, you know, it's sort of like, you know, stepping in and, like, you know, taking control over this, like, nebulous space, right? So, like, you know, this you can look into, you talk about cryptocurrency and the whole challenge to, like, an establishment, and here's the establishment coming back and sort of like setting the tone, and it's beginning to...
You remember, like, 2-3 years ago, what was going on?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's just highly speculative, and, like, you know, so, like, it's sort of like the future, but now the future is being codified in some way or another, so you do have the structures, the institutions coming in and guiding this process, so...
Yeah, I still think it's a massive market cap, so it's not like the industry goes away.
Yeah.
Obviously, this changes everything. I mean, it opens the door to regulation, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing will still be determined. And then it depends on, you know, as it relates to FTX, we talked about this previously, that's the difference between centralized and decentralized finance.
Yeah.
You know, FTX was a centralized platform, meaning that it was similarly run to like a Fidelity or TD Ameritrade, where they take customer orders, buy, sell, transaction, hold your assets. But they also had a loophole in their where they weren't regulated. They weren't regulated by the FDIC. They weren't regulated by the SEC. They weren't regulated by anybody. And they didn't even have a chief financial officer. So these people were essentially able to take customer capital and use it as if it was their own personal piggy bank.
Right. But that's the thing. That's the difference between investment and a con game, right?
So that's a nice way to describe it.
Because confidence is at the center of all of this, and trust.
Correct.
So this might be a good stepping stone for, like, serious investors to really look into it, as there's a level of, like, you know, not being conned by some smart kid coming out of college.
Exactly, yeah. That's why I'm from the old school. I still like my buildings. I can control them, paint them, repair them.
There is the metaverse. You'll be buying real
exactly
estate.
and you drive and you see them, you know, like, and then you will go back home and you sleep and you have nothing to worry about.
I think Manny would be the first one to tell you nothing like a nice diversified portfolio.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
It depends.
Yeah. Manny Frangidakis.
Manoli,
nasikala gori mo. Closing comments for our audience today, Manny.
Closing comments is, I think we've had a tremendous run going into the end of this year after what's been a really bad year for financial markets. Mm-hmm. I would use this opportunity. Our price tag for the S&P 500 for the next you know, call it a year to 2 years is really 4,200 to 3,700 unless something systemically changes, whether it's Fed policy or the rate of inflation. I think we're ranged down there. So we're very up at that top of that range with probably 3x more downside risk than we do have upside potential. So there is an opportunity here to reconsolidate.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think 2023 is going to be a good year. 2024 could be, you know, pretty bad. And I think we have to get ready for a decade where returns don't match our expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a decade where active management massively outperforms passive, meaning that you can no longer just buy the Vanguard ETF. You can no longer just sit in a mutual fund for the next 10 years like you were in the previous decade and make money and feel comfortable with your return. It's really going to be about where you allocated, what companies do you own. Again, we mentioned this. Don't look at it as a stock market. It's a market of stocks, and it's going to depend on which ones you choose. That's going to depict how you maneuver over this, what is going to be, in my opinion, a very challenging cycle.
Mm-hmm. Good information. Manny, thank you as always. Manoli,
don't forget you owe me a visit to Rhode Island.
That's it.
So, I know, but we'll set it up.
I don't know if that will take place prior to Christmas or after, but just remember, you know, you promise.
I would love
you
it to take place prior to Christmas. Let's do it before, you know, the holidays. Okay. Let's see if we can set something up.
Okay, sounds great. Go.
Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management. Again, joins us each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Thank you, Manny. Yes,
thank you, Manny.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So,